This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة All praise is due to Allah We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah abandons and leaves to go astray, none can guide. I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped. None has the right to our ultimate love and devotion, but Allah alone, who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not except in a state of submission and Islam to Allah. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, who created you from a single person, and from that single person He created His own wife. And from them both He created many men and women, and fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights and observe the rights of your kins. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah, fear Him, and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the words of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst things in the religion are the newly invented matters, because all the newly invented matters in religion are innovation and bid'ah. And every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance leads to the hellfire. Humans ask for miracles. People who don't believe in Allah ask for miracles so that they claim that they would accept Islam and the truth. Muslims ask for miracles and for signs so that they become better Muslims. Muslims ask for miracles through which Allah would elevate their state and improve their situation and their conditions. We're all expecting some kind of miracle. We want some miracle from Allah. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fix our affairs in some miraculous way. And because of that, we sit back and we give up our sense of responsibility, and we find something else to blame and hang the negative aspects of our life on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this in the Quran when He says, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ. And they ask, why doesn't Allah give him a sign or a miracle? Why doesn't Allah give him some miraculous sign that would open our hearts to faith and belief and iman? Why? This does not only apply to non-Muslims and people who refuse Islam and reject Islam, but also applies to many Muslims that when you tell them, why don't you pray? They say, I just don't feel like it now. Maybe at some stage in my life something happens and then I will pray. Why don't you truly believe in Allah? You're doing something haram, why don't you give it up? Why don't you fix your ways? You know, someday something will happen and I will, you know, become a better Muslim. I will become a good Muslim. I will start praying. And you can take this same kind of analogy with so many actions, with so many attitudes by non-Muslims and by Muslims themselves. But to the question of a sign and a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah responds by saying, قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Say the signs and the miracles are with Allah and from Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُشْعِرُكُمْ أَنَّهَا إِذَا جَاءَتْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And how would you know that even if these signs and miracles took place and Allah sent them down, what's the guarantee that these people would accept them and believe in them? There is an Eastern proverb or a piece of wisdom that says, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Oftentimes we misconstrue and misunderstand our relationship with the truth. We think that we are neutral. We think that we are open to the truth. And we are receptive to it, but the truth hasn't come our way. But the reality is, the truth is everywhere. Wherever you turn your eyesight, you will find the truth. Miracles are all over the place. But we have not opened our eyes and our hearts to see them for what they really are. Human life itself is a miracle. The human body and everything in it and within it has so many miracles. Life itself is a miracle. The air that we breathe is a miracle. Our heart that beats is a miracle. The way your hair grows is a miracle. The way you are able to speak and express your feelings into words is a miracle. The fact that you can see is a miracle. Water itself that we drink so unconsciously, and we quench our thirst with it, and we survive through this miraculous substance, is a profound and huge miracle. I saw this beautiful story from an Australian convert or a revert. He said at some stage he was looking for some kind of philosophy to adopt or religion to believe in. So he checked all possible, all available, accessible religions and philosophies from all over the world. And he said, I didn't find my heart in any of them. But Islam seemed to appeal to me and draw me in. So I started reading the translation of the Quran. And it appealed to me and I loved it. And it made so much sense to me. Then he said, I was somewhere in the middle of the Quran. And when I was reciting it, I said, that makes full sense. But in order for me to believe, if Allah is really there and this is His word, He should give me a sign. So he basically, in his innocent, spontaneous way, he just turns and he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, if you are there, if these are your words, if Islam is the truth, give me a sign. Show me a sign, give me a miracle. Then he said, I sat down, it was almost midnight, summer night, in my house, I sat down and I was waiting for a miracle to happen. And he had a very simple conversation with, like, addressing or talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said in his, as I said, in his naive even style, he said, oh Allah, I give you 20 minutes, show me a sign in 20 minutes, so I could accept this as the truth. So the 20 minutes, when they passed, they were over. So in the last minute he said, oh Allah, you only have 30 seconds. Give me a sign, give me a miracle, before time runs out. Then he says, there was no sign. I was sitting and wait for a sign, no sign showed up. Then I said, oh Allah, I gave you enough chance. That's not the religion, that's not the truth, that's not the religion for me to follow. And he said, I decided consciously to stop looking into Islam. And I moved on. He said, but there was something in my chest that was pulling me towards Islam, towards that book, the Quran, that I left. So he said, 2 days later, at night as well, he said, I found myself drawn into the Quran. So he left a mark where he ended up, where he asked Allah for a sign. So he said, I decided to open the Quran. I decided to open the Quran and recite. I found myself drawn into it to read more. So he said, I started off where I left off last time. So I started reading. He said, the first verse that I came across was the verse that I recited at the beginning of the khutbah. They ask you for signs. They ask you for signs. But who guarantees that when they see signs, that these people would believe? But the translator put a commentary and he said, basically what the verse says, that these people ask you for a sign and a miracle, but if they look around, they would see the miracles are already there. So he said, that blew me away. And I looked around and I saw everything around me as a miracle and a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, I felt shy how I was trying to impose my own conditions, my own rules on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He realized how blind he had been. So he said, when I opened up my eyes, I saw so many signs. I said, my life is a sign. Everything about me is a sign. And then he became Muslim. So sometimes it's our arrogance, it's our pride that holds us back from seeing the signs, from making us better Muslims. So today I want to talk about one of the most important miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, has given humanity. It's a beautiful gift from Allah. It's a miracle in its own right. And it's a profound blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the prayer. That's the prayer that we take for granted. that we go through and perform and go through the motions so robotically, so unconsciously, that we don't even feel it. We don't even feel it. It's become more of a routine, it's become more of a physical exercise that has no weight on us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about this beautiful miracle, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Indeed the salah, the prayer, is a deterrent. It's a tool to take you away from fahsha, from evil acts and lewdness, and from everything that is evil and despicable. So the salah has this miraculous side and impact on human beings, that it has the ability and it has the capacity to elevate your state and your morality and your behavior and your practice, and elevate you as a person. That's what the prayer does. The prayer is a transformative tool, powerful tool to change us. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The salah takes you away. It prevents you, holds you back, gives you another way other than lewdness and evil and sin. But why is it not paying off in the lives of so many Muslims who pray? Why? Let alone the Muslims who don't observe the prayer. These people have missed the mark completely. They don't know what they're missing. They think the salah is a burden. They think salah is something that drags them out of the beauty of their life and is more of a heavy weight and constraint upon them. But salah has always been, throughout the ages, a liberating experience, a transcendental experience. It takes you away from the shackles of the earth and the body, and it connects you to your soul, and connects your soul to Allah. And this is why it's called salah. It comes from the Arabic word sila. And sila means a connection. Because all the acts of worship that you do, all of them, they are a means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are approaching Allah through a means. When you give sadaqah, it's through the money. When you're teaching people, you are dealing with people for the sake of Allah. There's a medium between you and Allah. When you are performing hajj, there are so many acts and there are so many interactions and rituals to observe. When you do righteousness, you're doing it through something. But with salah, it's only Allah and you. It's just straight between you and Allah. It's a straight line between you and Allah. You are conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet says, إِذَا قَامَ الْعَبْدُ يُصَلِّ أَوْ إِذَا قَامَ أَحَدُكُمْ يُصَلِّ فَإِنَّمَا يُنَاجِي رَبَّهُ. That when one of you stands in the prayer, you are conversing with Allah privately. You're having a private conversation with Allah. You are speaking with Allah. And it's not only your tongue, it's your heart. And that's the only time the prayer has an impact on you and me. So when we pray the prayer, this miraculous act that we do not seem to appreciate is so profound and so powerful that it has the ability to elevate generations and nations to a higher moral standard, a higher spiritual standard, a higher behavioral practice. That's what the salah is supposed to be. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he talks about the prayer, he says, As-salatu khayru mawdu'. He says, salah is the best subject to talk about. It's the best thing to think about. It's the salah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ would spend his time at night praying, standing up in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pray. Because during the daytime, he had to deal with so many people. He had to run the affairs of his people. He had to settle disputes. He had to teach people. He had to engage in so many issues throughout the day, so he was kept busy. So in the night, he deprived himself of sleep because he needed that time with Allah. He needed to build himself. He needed that space where he's the only thing, or the only one in his life, is Allah at that time. So he deals with Allah directly. And that gave him the growth, the spiritual growth, the personal growth, to grow as a leader who changed the history of humanity. Salah is not a joke. So the Prophet ﷺ would pray at night, and Aisha radiallahu anha, his wife, would miss him sometimes. So one night she expressed a need to be with him, spend time with him. Then he turns to her and he says, Ya Aisha, ذريني أتعبد لربي. Ya Aisha, leave me. Let me to worship Allah. Let me spend some time with my Lord. Because that was a time for him to express his love for Allah. To pour his heart out to Allah. And forget about, you know, the physical constraints about life. To break from the shackles of the earth. And embrace the spiritual aspect of who we are, where the heart connects to Allah. Regardless of all physical constraints. So the Prophet ﷺ, then that specific night, he stood up in prayer and he prayed. And Aisha radiallahu anha describes, she says, he wept and wept and wept until his whole thawb, his whole qamis became wet because he was crying. Then when the time for Fajr came, Bilal radiallahu anhu knocked on his door to wake him up, to make sure, to remind him that it was Fajr time. He sees the Prophet ﷺ in tears and he says, Ya Rasulallah, لِمَ تَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. O Messenger of Allah, why do you do this when Allah has forgiven all your sins? He says, Ya Bilal, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Ya Bilal, shouldn't I be a thankful servant? Shouldn't I be grateful to Allah? That means, in other words, to paraphrase this, he said to Bilal, that's where my heart is. I'm not overburdening myself. That's what I want to do. That's what I find, this is where I find my heart. This is where I find joy. This is where I find peace. This is where I find myself. When I am standing in Allah's presence, I connect to my source of being. I come back to my origin, to Allah who created me. And I know I will return back to Him. What if we stand in prayer in that kind of spirit? What would be the impact of salah on us? Would we still cheat, manipulate, lie, seek means round, disrespect, do injustice, and all the other mistakes and problems that we are engaging in on a daily basis? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The prayer is a miracle. Look at the prayer, the process of the prayer. It starts first with an adhan. It's a declaration of the most beautiful meanings in existence, that Allah is the greatest. So when the mu'adhan is making you the adhan, you are supposed to listen with your ears and open up your heart to these meanings, because your heart recognizes these meanings. Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. La ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I testify that none has the right to be worshipped. My ultimate love should only be to Allah. That means I live my life for Allah. I'm living for Allah because I was brought here to worship Allah. So that's the sole reason why I exist and why this whole world exists. So I embrace these meanings. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, this beautiful example of what a human being could be. I believe in it and embrace it. Then hayya ala salah. Hayya means come over, come here. But it also has the meaning of haya, life. Come and find life in salah, in your connection with Allah. Hayya ala al-falah, come to success. Find life in this kind of success. There is life for your heart in it. Come and cultivate your soul in this process, in this beautiful process. So you contemplate these meanings, you are ready to engage with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You make wudu. And wudu is not only a physical act when you wash the parts of your body for wudu. It's a physical cleansing and it's a spiritual cleansing. The Prophet ﷺ says, إِذَا تَوَضَّأَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءِ. If one of you makes wudu and he makes the wudu well, he doesn't rush through it. So he makes the wudu well, as described by the Prophet ﷺ. خَرَجَتْ خَطَايَاهُ مِنْ جَسَدِهِ. The sins that you have committed will start flowing with the water. حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَظْفَارِهِ. Until it comes even from underneath his nails. So when you, the water that runs over your skin is also washing away the sins that you have committed in your life. So it's a cleansing process. This is why at the end of the wudu, we say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم اجعلني من التوابين وَاجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. Allah, make you from the one who repents. That's spiritual cleansing, because I wash myself from the sins by tawbah, by repentance. وَاجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. Make me from those who keep cleansing themselves, meaning physically and spiritually. And then you face the Qibla, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the Muslims in unison face that one direction. There's a powerful sense of unity. All the hearts are geared towards that one direction, regardless of their place of residence. In all corners of the globe, we're all turned to one direction. And this direction has its own power, its own magnitude. That's the house of Allah. That's the first house to be built. That's the point of balance on this earth, spiritual balance. And it brings the Muslims in unity. Not only Muslims of today, Muslims of the past, followers of all the prophets. Because that's the first house that is built for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you engage with Him directly. You engage with Allah directly. You open up your heart. Listen to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers are the successful ones. The first description Allah gives to them, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are the ones who have khushu' in their salah. What is khushu'? Salah, the physical salah, is the obligation of your body. Khushu' is the obligation of your heart. Is when your heart opens up to Allah, opens up to Allah, and it prays this salah, performs this salah in love for Allah. That's where khushu' comes from. When you are happy that you are standing in the presence of Allah, when you appreciate that this salah is not your own merit, you don't feel good about performing the prayer. You don't see it like that. You see the prayer is a gift from Allah. The fact that He guided you to Islam, the fact that He guided you to salah, the fact that He made you and chose you among the Muslims to pray, and He gave you a body to pray with, and He gave you a will and intention to pray, and He showed you a way to pray, and He designed a format of prayer for you to worship Him through, and He allowed you to come and stand in His presence, and then when you converse with Him, He listens to you. This salah is a great gift from Allah. So when you make salah, don't think you are doing Allah a favor. Allah is doing you a favor when He allows you to pray for Him. That's the reality. And when you see this, you will humble yourself in salah. You will never develop pride about yourself. Your ego will grow smaller and smaller. You don't feel good about yourself. Oh, I gave Allah, I'm better than others because I pray. You don't see it this way. You just see, Allah has so many blessings on me. Thank you, Allah, for guiding me to the prayer and allowing me to pray and giving me this privilege when millions and billions of people are deprived of it. I feel so special to Allah when He allows me to pray. And the second thing, when you pray, pray in love. Pray in love. Do these two things. See the prayer as a gift from Allah rather than as something that you offer to Allah, but as a gift from Allah. So you are on the receiving end and Allah is on the giving end. And the second thing is pray in love. Because that's what Tawheed is and that's what Ikhlas is. Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim says, Al-Ikhlasu fi salah. Having ikhlas and sincerity and pure intention in salah, huwa an tusalli mahab, an tusalliya mahabbatan lillah. It means that you are performing the prayer out of your love for Allah, because you're happy to stand in the presence of Allah. You can't wait for that moment when you open up your heart and your chest for Allah, and you are allowed to spend these moments in Allah's presence, conversing with Him directly. So you want to show your love for Allah. You want to run away from the whole creation to Allah. And prayer is the means for you to do this. So you leave the whole world behind, and you are standing in Allah's presence, expressing your longing to Him, your love for Him. That you can't wait to meet Allah on the Day of Judgment and see His face. Hopefully that this prayer would be a way for you and a means for you to get you closer to Allah and allow you that privilege. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم من كل ذنب. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. So if we are asking for signs and miracles from Allah, here you go. Salah itself is a miracle. And you will not be able to absorb this miracle and reap its benefits unless you open up your heart and your eyes to see the prayer as such. And as we said, this Eastern proverb says, the teacher will appear when the student is ready. When you are ready, when you are receptive to the truth, you will be surprised that everything around you is a miracle. Everything around you is a sign pointing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will see the justice of Allah in everything. You will see the mercy of Allah in everything. So the salah becomes a lens through which you see the world. It colors your life. So it's not just a daily action that you do. It's not just a routine physical exercise. It's a transcendental experience. It's a profound experience. It's something out of this world. And if you are not allowing yourself to delve into that depth, delve into that taste, delve into this beauty of the salah, you're missing out big time. You're missing out big time. The great companion Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman, he himself predicted that if khushu' is taken away from salah, even the people who perform salah will not be good. He says, in an authentic narration from him, from Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman, he says, أَوَّلُ مَا يُرْفَعُ مِن دِينِكُمُ الْخُشُوعِ. He says to his students, the first thing that will be taken away from your religion is khushu' in salah. That's the first aspect to be taken away. Will be taken away from your salah. Then he says, وَرُبَّ مُصَلٍّ لَا خَيْرَ فِيهِ. Then he says, and how often you will find someone who is performing salah, but there is no goodness in them. Why? Because there's no khushu'. There's no khushu'. So we should tap into the beauty and the power of salah. Salah can change communities. It can change nations. In the past, when scholars, someone came to them with depression and issues and problems and anxiety, they would refer them to salah. Just perform salah. Pray qiyam al-layl. Pray qiyam al-layl. And you would find peace. Because the salah was a tool. That's why the Prophet ﷺ says, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. The peace of my heart, the beauty of my life is found in salah. It's found in salah. You want peace, you want tranquility, you want insight, you want wisdom. Whatever you want, you will find it in salah. As I said, it's something out of this world. And we should tap into this beauty of salah. I want to conclude this khutbah with extending the thanks and gratitude, I mean, to this community and the people who supported the campaign of Abu Huraira to raise funds for the families of the victims in Quebec shooting. And alhamdulillah, from this community and from some online funding as well, from other people who follow up with Abu Huraira, we have managed to raise about $10,000. Then inshallah, we will be giving directly to the families of the ones who got killed and the ones who are wounded. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the shuhada and to heal and give recovery to the injured ones and to give patience and consolation to their families. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار ربنا لا تؤاخذنا بما فعل السفهاء منا اللهم تجاوز عنا ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن لهم حق علينا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين